Let's read the words. To teach lahayir and ahokim, to show people the right path, they shouldn't stumble in the details of the mitzvah, how to do the mitzvah. In other words, the purpose of the sefer is to teach you the halachas of how to do gemilas chasadim properly. That's on the one hand. To teach you halacha, do this, don't do that. And v'sheyesh b'mitzvah zu mitzvah seh b'torah, and that this mitzvah of gemilas chasadim is a real mitzvah saseh. It's not just a nice thing to do. This is a big deal, which we'll discuss b'zat Hashem a lot today. The Chofetz Chaim wanted to show, people sometimes think, yeah, doing chesed is a nice thing to do. It shows you have good midos, good character. But people don't always realize that doing chesed is a real mitzvah, saseh in the Torah, that you have to do. Just like you have to put on tefillin, and you have to bench, and you have to daven, you also do gemilas chasadim. So part of the purpose of the sefer, this is the Netziv talking, part of the purpose the Chofetz Chaim had in writing his sefer was to teach people that doing chesed is a real mitzvah. So the Netziv now just said, it's the Netziv talking, that the Chofetz Chaim had two goals in writing the sefer. One, that people should know how to do the right thing and not make mistakes in the law, in how to keep the laws of chesed. And two, that doing chesed is a real mitzvah and not just a nice thing to do. That's already an insight. And now here's the punchline. And these two points are interconnected. Vavar Yoser. The Nesiv now is going to say a chiddush. This is his own chiddush that he is projecting onto this Chofetz Chaim Sefer. This is like really exciting stuff. The Nesiv is saying as follows. The fact that doing chesed is a mitzvah is interrelated to the details of the halachos of chesed. So when the Chofetz Chaim has two goals in his sefer, one, keep the halachos properly. Two, know that doing chesed is a mitzvah. Those two goals of the sefer are interrelated. Let me explain the outline of what he's going to say, then we'll learn it inside. The Netziv is going to say as follows. A lot of mitzvos of chesed that we do, we would do because they're the right thing to do anyway. Okay, so you want a Jew supposed to do the right thing. But it's also a real mitzvah to do them. And then it seems going to say, this is the punchline, that sometimes because it's a real mitzvah, that affects the details of the halacha. If you would do this just because it's a nice thing to do, then you would do A. But since it's a real mitzvah, you're not going to do A, you're going to do B. It's different. You with me? That's where the Netziv is going here. The fact that these things that we're discussing in this sefer are real mitzvos affect the details of what you're supposed to do. And he's going to give examples. Okay? So good. So this is the Netziv presenting an insight to goals the Chofetz Chaim had in the sefer, and that these two goals are interrelated. And that the Netziv is going to get to later on in his Haskama. And now he's going to start discussing Chesed, and he's going to get to his punchline. Questions till now? This is really fascinating. Okay. Now he starts discussing Chesed. Tibemis. Chal gminas chesedim ukiyim ha'olam utusiv olam chesed yibana. The whole world is built on Chesed. Olam chesed yibana. The world is built on Chesed. Chesed is the foundation of the whole world. Now he says his first chiddush. V'hi chovas ha'adam v'zehu tzuraso. It's an obligation on every person, every human being. He doesn't mean Jews now. You'll see, he's going to develop a whole theme here. V'zehu tzuraso. And it's the very form of a human being. The Netziv is going to say now that a person, a human being in his essence, is a chesed doer, unless you corrupt yourself. Some people corrupt themselves and then become evil people. But in a person's essence, he's a chesed doer. When God made humans, forget about Jews for now. Hashem made humans, in a person's essence, he's the doing of chesed is part of what it means to be human. That's what it means zehu tzuraso. That it's part of the form of what it means to be human is to do chesed. What he's going to then say is, on top of that, there's a special obligation to do chesed because we are Jewish. So first he's starting with the basic chiyuv that every person has to do chesed just because they're human. Part of being human is doing chesed, unless you corrupt yourself. Part of doing, and therefore, just because we're human, part of being human means we're supposed to do chesed. And he gives examples. Umishumachi, therefore, it says in Bereishis Habriya, when Hashem created the world, Behivolei Chnei Anashim Harishon, the two first people were born, Kain and Hevel, Vatosef Loledes Es Achiv Es Havel. And she continued to give birth to his brother, to Hevel. Now, the Nesiv now makes a diuk. Vahai, the word hai means that. It's Aramaic, that. That phrase, Es Achiv, Miyutar. What does Miyutar mean? It's extra. The Isli was Kain's brother. I mean, what else was he, right? They were the first two people born in the world. So when the Torah says that Chava gave birth to Cain, then she also gave birth to Hevel. Obviously, Hevel was Cain's brother. So why does the Pasuk mention the phrase Es Achiv, his brother Hevel? You understand the question? That's a question in Pshat that the Netziv is raising, which the Mefarshim discuss. The phrase Es Achiv is an extra phrase. Obviously, Hevel was Cain's brother. I mean, what else was he? I mean, there was no other mother around. You know, one mother giving birth to two kids. Obviously, they're brothers. Now, the Netziv gives a little plug. Ubiyarun Ubehemek Dover. He's quoting himself here. That's a big deal, right? You can quote yourself. He's quoting himself. And I explained in the Hemek Dover, the Netziv says, watch this. Shebo lelamed shu mefiprate tsuras ha'adam uvameshu meshuna mitsuras kol abruim sheye achva shereres veini sheho. He says, the Torah wants to emphasize that this idea, that it's part of what it means, that the form of means to be human, that we're different than other creations, that there should be brotherly connections between the different human beings. In other words, obviously, Hevel was Cain's brother, obviously. So why does the Torah say he was Cain's brother? To emphasize that part of being human is to view other people like your brother. It's an extra emphasis. The extra phrase is coming to show that there's a part of being human is treat others like they're your brother and do chesed for others. So that's the emphasis. Of course, physically, Hevel was Cain's brother. Of course, that's obvious. The Torah says, Es Achiv, to emphasize that part of being human, we're not talking Jewish yet, part of being human is to treat other people like your brother with a special brotherly love and a brotherly connection to do good things for them. And that's why the first time a new person is born, there's an empathy. He's your brother. Treat him very nicely. That's what a human being is supposed to do. And he says, this is how we're different than animals. Animals don't have this feeling of achva, of doing chesed for others. Animals have instincts to survive. And sometimes you survive in a group, but the idea of helping others for the sake of helping others, they don't have. And now here's an exciting thing here. This is the Netziv's angle on Cain. How do we view Cain? Normally. How do we view Cain normally? Positive or negative? Normally we view Cain as negative. Normally. The Netziv says, well, originally it was positive. V'kain hitnehe kein betchila. Once you hear it, it's obvious. You have to notice it. Uparnes me'avodas ha'adama shalo es hevel achiv ashoy obed adama. Cain was an obed adama. And Hevel was... So what did Hevel eat? What did Hevel eat? So what's he saying? Cain supported Hevel. In other words, Cain was an Obed Adama. So the Netziv says, yeah. Why was Cain an Obed Adama? What did he use it for? He used it to support Hevel. So Cain, at least in the beginning, was fulfilling what it means to be human, to do chesed for others, and he supported Hevel. Then in the end, he went the other direction, and he killed him. Okay, so that's a... But writing a sefer, if you want to write an essay by Cain and Hevel, then Netziv's view is that Cain began in a very positive way. That's what he's saying here. That Cain lived up to what Hashem wanted from humans, and he was supporting Hevel. Just as a side point, So how did the whole Cain and Hevel thing, what happened there? Cain offered a present to Hashem, and it wasn't so good. So Hashem didn't like it in a sense. He didn't turn towards it. Then Hevel offered a carbon, he offered the best stuff, and Hashem liked Hevel's carbon. Yeah? And then Cain was unhappy? Yes? Well, so my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita says an idea here. I think it's a good idea. So who was creative? Who had the idea first to offer a carbon? Cain. But he did it wrong. He didn't do it. So Hevel wasn't creative, but he did it right. He offered the carbon the right way. There's a big yesod in life. It's much more important to be right than to be creative. It's a major yesod in life. It's happening right now in our generation. It's more important to be right. People want, oh, I want to do a new thing and change things. Just make sure you're doing something that's right. And a lot of times people make changes. We discussed this. People want to make a new approach and a new that. And a lot of the new things end up being very problematic. So being creative is very nice. And sometimes a person's smart and has ideas. It's more important to be right than to be creative. And that's a good lesson to take from Cain and Hevel, which is coming up nowadays a lot. There's a lot being written about this nowadays. It's a whole huge topic. Things happening within the Torah world, within the Orthodox world, or sort of the Orthodox world. People are being very creative, and the Rabbanim are saying that they're making a lot of mistakes. Okay, so this is Cain and Hevel. So this is the So part of being human is to do chesed for others. That's part of the essence of what it means to be human. That's why it says es achiv as an extra phrase, and that's what Cain did. So far that's chiddush number one with two components. This is the Cain part of the chiddush. Chiddush number two. Umishum hachi gam umos ha'olam utzuvim al chesed. And that's why goyim also have to do chesed. They're commanded to do chesed. How does the Netziv know, skip the brackets for a second, that they're commanded to do chesed? That's why Stone was punished so severely, because they corrupted the essence of being human. Stone was totally, totally anti-chesed, right? The Medrash describes Stone was totally, totally anti-chesed. They hated chesed. They hated stucca. The Midrashim tells stories about how they'd go crazy and attack fellow city members who did stucca and chesed. So the Netziv is saying as follows. The fact that Hashem punished Stone so severely for a lack of chesed, that's a fact, reflects that goyim have a chiyuv to do chesed as well, and it's part of what it means to be human. And even before you get to the mitzvahs of the Torah, a person is supposed to be doing chesed, and that's why they were punished so severely for corrupting what it means to be human. You got it? That's very nice. That's major chiddush number two. That goyim also have a chiyuv to do chesed, and that chiyuv is reflected in the fact that Stone was punished so severely for being anti-chesed. Oh. So that's chiddush number two. What's the kasha on this chiddush? When the Netziv says goyim are chayiv in chesed, what's the kasha on this chiddush? What's the kasha? Not one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So this is a kasha. There's a kasha on the Netziv second chiddush. The Netziv has a very beautiful idea. It's part of this form of being human, and that's esachiv. That's Cain, and Cain is pro Cain to start with, and that's why Stone was punished so severely, because of the chiyuv of chesed. But there's a list of the Zionists b'nei Noach, and chesed isn't on the list. So that's a kasha against the Netziv. So who asked that kasha? The Netziv asked that kasha on himself. He's smarter than we are, a lot smarter. And that's the bracket. So in the brackets, the Netziv raises that kasha on himself and gives a teretz. Oh, let's read. V'ho, the word ho in Aramaic means like that. And when ho starts a sentence, it normally starts a question. Like when guys learn Gemara, this happens all the time. V'ho, and that which it says, da 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 da, that's the question. Then you have to get to the end. That's how you say V'ho. Okay, so when you read V'ho, you have to have the right inflection. V'ho, and that which it says, that's how you read it. V'ho, 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 and that which Dilo Mana Hatana Besanhedrin Bimtsibin Chayovim, and that which the Tana did not list this in the list of the Shemitzbin, he refers to Sanhedrin because it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin which discusses the list of the Mitzvot B'nai Noach. So the Nitziv says, the Nitziv asks the question on himself. How can I say that Chesed is a mitzvah for non-Jews as well? And that's why Stone was punished so severely. It's not mentioned in the list in Sanhedrin. So he answers, Mevur Sham Daf Mem Ches Tekum Va'asei Lo Kachashiv. He quotes one line from the Gemara. The Gemara says, Kum Va'asei Lo Kachashiv. That means positive things. Kum Vase means things you do with an action are not listed. In other words, the Nitziv understands that line of the Gemara to mean that the Zayin Mitzvot B'nei Noach are the don'ts that a non-Jew is not allowed to do. Not allowed to do Avodah Zarah, not allowed to commit adultery, not allowed to Eivim Minachai, not allowed to do Gezel. But the Nitziv understands that Gemara to mean that there are positive things that a non-Jew must do that aren't on the list. So this is a whopper of a chiddush. The Nitziv is saying here that we shouldn't think there are only seven mitzvot b'nei Noach. There are more, possibly. There are seven don'ts, I'll explain more in a second, that the non-Jews have. But there might be more things that the non-Jews have to do, the goyim have to do, but since they're positive, they're not on the list. That's only the Lota says for the Goyim. And he brings a proof. Some of the Rishonim say that Goyim have a chiyuv to have children as well. That's a discussion. That's not explicit in the Gemara. So the Tzitz is as follows. There are some of the Rishonim who hold that Goyim have a chiyuv for Peruvu to have children. Wait a second. It's not on the list. So how can any Rishon hold that a Goy has a chiyuv to have children? It must be that the list only includes the lo tasseis, the don'ts, but there might be positive things Goyim have to do beyond the list that they also have to do. So just like some of the Rishonim say they have to do Perev Ribya, they also have to do possibly Chesed. Then he says, Ukmosha Kasafti Behemek She'ela. Another sefer that he wrote. That's as heavy as it's another book, his other sefer. So that's very big. He quotes his own two sfarim here. The Hemek Dover, as you know, that's a sefer on the Chumash. That's a Nitziv's very beautiful sefer on the Chumash. Hemek She'ela is a Nitziv sefer on the writings of the on the She'iltos. One of the Gaonim wrote a little short, brief sefer, very hard to understand. The Nitziv took it apart, gave thousands of sources, wrote three thick volumes, and he wrote it when he was around the age of 20. The super incredible sefer, Rav Shechter quotes it all the time. That's the Hemek. It's called the Hemek She'ela. Okay. Now, a lot of you are saying, "Wait a second. So you're saying very nice question the Nitziv has, very nice answer, but there's a problem because Zayin Mitzvot B'nei Noach." They include don't do avodah zarah, don't steal, eiv minachai, but they also include dinim, and dinim seems to be positive. That's a good question. So what we're doing now is we're asking a question on the Nitziv's answer. That's what we're doing now. How can you say that the list only includes the negatives? What about dinim, which seems to be positive? So the answer seems to be, there's a big machlokes what dinim means. When it says the goyim have to do dinim, that's one of the things they know. So some of the Rishonim assume that dinim means to set up a sort of a system of civil law. That's what the Ramban on the Chumash sounds like. That the goyim have to work out a way that people, deal with each other, with damages and this and that. But the Rambam writes that what is dinim? The Rambam writes that dinim is the goyim have to set up a court system in order to ensure that the other six mitzvot b'nei Noach are kept properly. In other words, according to the Rambam, dinim becomes part of the don'ts. Don't do avodah zarah. Don't do adultery. Don't steal. Don't do Eiver Menachai. And then there's another mitzvah. Set up a court to make sure that no one does all those six bad things. So dinim for the Rambam can easily be defined as a don't as well. So what I'm saying now is I think, this is my own little addition, I think that the Netziv's answer fits better for the Rambam's according to the Rambam's definition of dinim. And according to the Rambam's definition of dinim, I think it's a little harder. So what I'm saying is that the Netziv gives the question an answer, the Netziv has a very nice answer, and then there's a question on the Netziv's answer, and the answer to the question on the Netziv's answer is that if you define dinim like the Rambam does, then it's easier to accept the Netziv's answer. I think the Netziv mentions, I looked it up once in Hemek Sheila. So that's a little additional comment on top of the Netziv's answer. So that's major chiddush number two. Whew. Barely a paragraph. Two major chiddushim here in the Netziv. This is all part of his explaining that every human being has a chiyuv to do chesed as part of his basic human nature, just by being human, as opposed to being an animal. Very exciting. That's the two chiddushim of. Let me just add one more point. Then ask the question. We know it. V'hinei. V'ne'arvam Yitzchak v'Yaakov muzharim b'tevel mitzvah zu. He says, the Jewish people are obligated to do chesed because, by our very nature, because we're humans. In other words, just like the non-Jews have a chiyuv to do chesed because it's part of the nature of man to do chesed, so too Jews have that same chiyuv. So on one level, we have the same chiyuv as the goyim. What's the Netziv going to say in the next paragraph? On top of that, we have an additional level, which we'll get to. But that's so the point of this first paragraph is that there is a universal obligation to do chesed, part of being human, that the non-Jews have as well, and that's Kayin and Esachiv and that's Stom, and part of being Jewish is you're human first, and we have prachitos just because we're good humans first, and then we'll get to. On top of that, we have an additional. We'll get to an, okay. Yeah, we're like now being like a carbon up to Shemayim. And he said a carbon has to have proper kavanas, so we should have kavana. We're doing this now. Then he added on. He said we should think that this chus of what's happening to us should help our brothers in America, Jews in America who are going to need help, to stay strong religiously. And that's the Musar Shmuz he gave on the way to being murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. Okay. That was made famous by... Okay, that's another story. Okay, anyway, that's our Bukhanan. So good, so that was the question, that was the answer, that was our Gedolim stories in the middle. We covered all the bases. Now let us continue. Good, so that's step one. Step one is, we have to chesed because we're Jews. He adds on that Jews have a special connection in their nature to chesed. Fine, even more than goyim, fine. Now, next page, where it says number two. However, even though we have a chiyuv to keep to do chesed, just because we're human, on top of that, keep on reading. Yesh mitzvah say b'Torah, kamo v'hachazak debo v'odim kesef talver. That was last week's parsha. So he's saying, on top of the fact that there's a chiyuv to do chesed just because we're human, it's part of human nature, it's part of what it means to be human, on top of that there's a chiyuv to do chesed because it's a mitzvah. K'dei l'lamdeinu, asher milvad she'anachnu mitzuv magmius chesed, machmas chovas ha'adam la'adam, on top of the fact that we have to keep chesed just from human to human, like goyim do. Od anu mitzuvin alei mitzara Torah, we have a chiyuv to keep chesed like all the other mitzvos, even the mitzvos we don't fully understand. We understand chesed. Chesed makes sense to do, help others. We have a chiyuv, it's a regular mitzvah like other mitzvos. You have to do chesed, and it's a chiyuv, and it's a chiyuv to do chesed like every other mitzvah, even if you don't understand the reasons, you still have to do chesed. Okay, good. Got it? That's step two. Now the Nesiv has a question. Okay, there's an implicit question. What's the point of having a mitzvah to do chesed if we're chayiv chesed anyway, just because we're human? That's his implicit question. We have to do chesed because we have to do chesed. Because the humans have to do chesed. And now, on top of that, there's a mitzvah to do chesed. Just like the mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah of benching, there's a mitzvah of chesed. So the Netziv now is gonna say that there's a nafgamina. There's a practical difference within chesed in the fact that there's a mitzvah to do it, a mitzvah in the Torah, and not just an obligation of man to man, of being human. That's where he's going now. You got it? So Jews have a double-layered chiyuv to do chesed. As humans, and on top of that, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. What is added by the fact that it's a mitzvah in the Torah? So he says two things. The first is, skip to the underlined part, linyan schar, as far as schar goes. This is fascinating. He says that if something is a mitzvah, you get more schar in the Torah, you get more schar in Eretz Yisrael than Chutz Laretz. Those of you in from Ramban class, we saw the Ramban says this. He says it 99% clear. The Netziv quotes it. The Ramban says that the best place to do mitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. He calls it the ikker place to do mitzvahs. The Ramban says that you get more schar from mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz Laretz. So the Netziv says as follows. If chesed was just something that you needed to do because you're human, that's the same all over the world. But once it's a mitzvah, all mitzvahs are more special in Eretz Yisrael than Chutz Laretz. So once it's a mitzvah, now, just like the other mitzvahs, there's more schar in Eretz Yisrael than Chutz Laretz, so too chesed. I'm reading the underlying part in paragraph 2. V'nafmina b'zeh linan schara. T'chukei HaTorah, afil mitzvahs she'en t'chuyim ba'aretz, v'nog afil b'chutz laretz. Even mitzvahs that apply in Chutz Laretz, miyuchados hema, they're more special. Beretz Yisrael yoser, umishumachin nikra Torahs Elokei Haaretz, the Torah of Hashem, the God of the land, which the Ramban interprets to mean Eretz Yisrael. K'mosh Kosef Ramban b'chumash parshas Toldos, and also at the end of Achrimos. V'im kein schara yoser gahu ba'aretz mi b'chol makom. You get more schar in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz Laretz. Oh. So therefore, the Ramban says, that's one reason why it's important to know that chesed is a mitzvah, because just like the other mitzvahs, there's more schar in Eretz Yisrael than Chutz Laretz, so too the mitzvah of chesed. Okay, that's a very interesting Ramban. A big plug for living in Israel, that Ramban, okay. But that's not the main focus. The main focus I want is the next paragraph. He gives another nafkamina, and this is crucial. And the Ramban says as follows, and this is his punchline, this is his punchline, and this is what he's referring to back in the introduction. Here's what the Netziv says. What's the practical difference that doing chesed is a mitzvah as opposed to just something you're supposed to do because you're human? The difference is the details of the mitzvah are different once it's a mitzvah in the Torah. Why? Hashem's standards are different than human standards. This is the punchline. Hashem's standards are different than human standards. There are human standards for how to do chesed, but Hashem has higher standards, different standards. So if we would just do chesed because the human-to-human obligation, we would do whatever the goyim think makes sense to do chesed, help people across the street and do things. But once it's a mitzvah, so then once something's a mitzvah, you got to learn the halachas of the mitzvah, and the standards are higher, and he gives an example. The example is ribbis, charging interest. Charging interest is the most normal, natural thing to do. I have $10,000 extra lying around. I could invest it and make a $1,000 profit. So if I give that $10,000 to you for a year, I'm losing my chance to make $1,000 more. So it makes perfect sense, logically, I'll lend you the $10,000 and I'll take back $11,000 in a year. That makes perfect sense. And not only does it make sense, you'd be happy about it. You need the $10,000 loan right now. You're saying, please give me the loan, I'll pay you the interest. And in the non-Jewish world, that's totally allowed. That's mutter. Charging interest is totally mutter. And it makes sense. What's wrong with charging interest? And as far as on a purely human-to-human logical, the non-Jewish standard is fine. Everyone's happy. I have the money. I'm losing a chance to make a profit. You're paying me that profit I could have made. You want the loan. Hashem says no. You can't charge interest. Hashem understands. Obviously Hashem understands human nature. That once you start charging interest, then a person who's desperate for money might want to pay a lot of interest, then his whole life gets ruined, then you go to loan sharks and this and that. So Ribbis is a perfect example. The fact that we keep chesed not just because it's a nice thing to do, but because it's a mitzvah means the standards are different. Hashem's standards are different than the non-Jewish standards. And therefore, you have to study the halachos carefully and figure out the details. Look inside.
They don't make so much sense logically.
Neshach means taking interest. As far as normal human thinking, what's wrong with charging interest? Everyone's happy. The borrower needs the loan. He doesn't mind paying the interest. The loaner deserves to get the interest because the lender deserves the interest because he's losing his chance to make money somewhere else. So everyone's happy. Nope. Hashem says no. So this is the point of the Netziv. That the mitzvot of chesed are not just things you do because you're supposed to, because you're human. Things you have to do because you're human. They're things we do because we're Jewish and they're mitzvot. And once it's a mitzvah, then the details might be different than what you would have thought on your own. Oh, so that's what he said in the first line of the introduction. That the Chafetz Chaim wrote a sefer, and he says, you should know doing chesed is a real mitzvah. And the Chafetz Chaim has a list of all of the do's and don'ts of the laws of chesed. And they're interconnected. Because since it's a mitzvah, the details of and the do's and don'ts don't fit to what you would have thought on your own. Your own, yeah, it's good to help others, good to do this. No, it's much more than that. And that's the Netziv's angle on the uniqueness of the Chafetz, this is an insight, of the Chafetz Chaim Sefer, that he's discussing the mitzvot of chesed, he's discussing the detail of chesed, and those two things are interrelated. Now go back to that sentence above. Go back to the right column, lines 6 and 7. Uhayir and Ehochim ba shelo yikashun ba'ofanei ha-mitzvah. To teach people they shouldn't stumble in the details of the mitzvah. Ve'er, sheyesh b'mitzvah mitzvah, and these two things are interconnected, and I'm going to explain it. So now we just explained it. You got it? So that's very exciting. That's the Netziv's Haskama to Sefer Avas Chesed. He has a Chiddush here, and it's a beautiful Chiddush, and he thinks that Chiddush relates to what the Chafetz Chaim was getting at when he wrote his Sefer. Okay. That's the Netziv. Questions? Okay, there's a related point that I'd like to say over. It's from Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, the Sefer Darash Moshe, and everything's Hashgacha. The Rav Mashul literally mentioned this point he mentioned yesterday in his Drasha. I told him, it's Hashgacha, I'm discussing this tomorrow in class. Okay, so it's like this. This is last week's Parsha. It says, the mitzvah of lending money, of giving tzedakah. What's the phrase in the Torah? Im kesef talmud. Okay, what does im mean normally? If. What does it mean here? It means when. That's the famous Rashi. Okay. Why does Rashi say it means when? Oh, you have to. It's not a reshus, it's a chova, right? That's what Rashi says. That im normally means reshus, normally. But here,
He means chol. That's why it's really is kasher. When? You have to give suffer. Okay.
Good. So im means when. So what's the question? Why does it say if? That's an obvious question which the Mefarshim discuss. If the Torah wants to say when, why does it say if? You got it? That's a good question. So Rav Moshe gives the following answer. It's in the Darash Moshe on last week's Parsha. It's a beautiful answer. Okay, and it goes as follows. And it relates to this Netziv as well. There is a world-famous comment in Chazal, which Rashi quotes. The comment of Chazal is, when it comes to eating treif, a person walks by a McDonald's. So Chazal say, don't say, oh, the food's probably terrible. Cheeseburgers are terrible. Cheeseburgers are terrible. I think it's a trillion. How many cheeseburgers? What's the sign up to now? Hundreds of, is it a trillion? I don't know what the number is. If you include China, it's got to, I don't know what the number is. Let's make up a number. 500, I think it's more. 500 billion. 500 billion cheeseburgers. They've got to taste good. You can't fool all the people all the time. It's impossible. Oh my gosh, talk about the cholesterol and the this. I don't want to, when you get older, the doctor yells at you in a nice way. Anyway, it can't be they don't taste good. 500 billion. They cheeseburgers. They must taste good. They have to taste good. You can't fool everyone all the time. Hashem says, no, you can't eat it. That's the Chazal. Efshi, I'd like to. It tastes, but I can't. Hashem said not to. That's a famous maimer of Chazal. Rashi quotes it. The Rambam quotes it in the Shmona Prakim. Oh. Now, by the way, just as an aside point, this is aside. At the highest level, a Jew spoke. I'll mention at the end. Leave it at the end. Okay, now. Rambam says in Shmona Prakim, the Rambam says that Maimer Chazal does only applies Bein Adam L'Makom. But in mitzvos, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, it's not true. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that idea, oh, I'd want to eat the cheeseburger, it probably tastes good, but I can't, that applies Bein Adam L'Makom. But mitzvos, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the Rambam says, you're not supposed to say that. Because an old lady needs help across the street. Oh, I can't believe it. I don't want to help her. I'm busy. Well, how annoying it is. All right, God, I have to, so I will. No. You're supposed to want to help people and have good meals and have good character. You're not supposed to say, oh, I don't want to, but I'm stuck doing it. So the Rambam says that when it comes to mitzvos, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, you're supposed to train yourself to want to do it because you want to help people and help other people. Got it? So the Rav Moshe Feinstein says, and this pshat is worth $1 million, he says that's why it says im. It says if. The Torah is teaching you, it is a chiyuv to do the mitzvah. But your goal is to get to the level where you would have done the mitzvah even if it would have really said?
When?
If. Even if it would have said, the word is when. In English it's when, because it's a chiyuv. But even if it would have really written if, I would still do the mitzvah, because of course you want to do the right thing and help other people. So based on that Rambam, based on the fact that Chazal applies, that Chazal doesn't apply to Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, you're supposed to want to train yourself to get to the level where you want to help others and want to do the mitzvah, even if it weren't a chiv, you'd want to. Because it's the right thing. You want to have a good character. You want to have good midos. You be like Hashem. Hashem helps others. We help others. Oh, so that's why the Torah writes the word if. Because the literal meaning is teaching you the goal you're shooting for. That you're shooting for a level where I would have done the mitzvah, even if it really said, would have said if, I would have done the mitzvah anyway. Oh. So that's the Rambam and Rav Moshe. So what did my Rav add on, just to sharpen, what did he just explain more fully? But when you do the, this is a very important point, but when you do the mitzvah, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you're supposed to think about the fact, Hashem commanded me to do this, and it's a real mitzvah too. We don't do mitzvos Ben Adam L'Chaveiro only because they're the right thing to do. No. Hashem told me I must mitzvah. And on top of that, I want to train myself and train my neshama and train my character to get to the point that I would do the mitzvah. I would do this because it's the right thing to do, even if it weren't a mitzvah. He quoted from the Chovas HaLevavos and others that Bein Adam Uchaveru as well, Hashem commanded us to do it. So this is a halacha l'maisa. You're doing somebody a chesed. You're doing somebody a chesed. So you're supposed to say to yourself, there's a mitzvah to do chesed. I'm doing a mitzvah of chesed now. And I want to have good character. I want to be godlike. I want to train myself to be like Hashem. And I'm doing this action now because I want to become like Hashem as well. And I want to help others. There's no contradiction. It's both. So Rav Moshe was emphasizing the fact based on that Rambam that the ultimate ideal is that a person trains his character to get to the level of doing the mitzvah, even if it weren't a command. But when you do the mitzvah, you think about the fact that it's a mitzvah now as well. So Ben Adam El Makom, we think about Hashem, and Ben Adam El Chavero. And that's what the Netziv is saying here. That's what the Netziv is saying here about the Chavetz Chaim. It all connects very nicely, that these are mitzvos of chesed. On top of that, Rav Moshe is adding on, based on that Rambam, that it's not the same as eating a cheeseburger, or as not eating a cheeseburger, but rather, you want to train your character to get to the level where you'd want to do the mitzvah, because you want to help others and be like Hashem, even if it weren't a specific mitzvah of chesed right now. I think it's a very deep idea. It's a beautiful pshat from Rav Moshe. One more point, then I'll take questions, which is this famous Rambam about the cheeseburgers, right? There is a higher level. In other words, it's not our goal that we have to struggle every time we walk by a McDonald's. You want to get to a level, obviously, where you train yourself to submit to the Dvar Hashem. I do whatever Hashem says. So once a person trains himself to do what Hashem says, then it's like abhorrent to think about eating a cheeseburger. Not because it tastes bad, but because it goes against what Hashem wants. You understand? Because when Chazal say, you're supposed to say Efshi, but I can't, that means on a theoretical level, oh, I'd want to. It probably tastes good, but I can't because Hashem said no. But once Hashem says no, then of course our goal is to train ourselves that you know, just like, you know, we're like a person's, you know, you're grossed out by seeing a roach on your dining room table. Ugh. So the thought of like Tuvera should be the same way. You got it? So it's not that you're supposed to constantly have that struggle, of course not. But on a theoretical level, yeah, they probably taste good, but Hashem said no. But once Hashem said no, then for that reason, I don't want to do the mitzvah, I don't want to do the Avera, because I want to do what Hashem says. Okay, so we did a huge amount today. We did the Netziv's Haskama to Sefer Avas Chesed. I gave the background of why the Chafetz Chaim went to the Netziv for Haskama, the younger versus the older Gadol. That's why he says Nero Yair. That's a nice little thing there. And that's like Rav Avadia is a good example of that. When he was younger, he got Haskamas. When he was older, he gave Haskamas. Okay. The Netziv talks about his insight about the Chafetz Chaim. A, the Chafetz Chaim wrote books for the general populace and for the leading Rabbanim at the same time. Two, this particular Sefer, he says, talks about doing the mitzvahs properly and that chesed is a mitzvah, not just a nice thing to do, and they're interrelated. Then he develops that whole theme, the chiyuv to do chesed because we're human, with Kain and Hevel, with stone, the kasha from Tirzah Bei Noach, the answer to the kasha on the answer. On top of that, we have chiyuv to do mitzvahs of chesed because it's a mitzvah. The nafkina is schar in Eretz Yisrael. The nafkina is different standards. Hashem's standards are higher. And Ribbis is the classic example. And then we discuss that mitzvah of chesed you should do because it's a mitzvah and because you want to get to the level where it's the right thing to do. You want to be godlike and do and have good midos and have good character. And that famous Maimer Chazal about the 500 billion cheeseburgers that probably taste pretty good doesn't apply to mitzvahs ben amal chavero. And that's Rav Moshe's beautiful pshat in the word im, in last week's parsha. You got it? Mamash, it's a beautiful pshat. Okay. Now, a few minutes on the parsha. Okay. This vort on the parsha is a great vort for fundraising. So if you want to fundraise for a school, or for a yeshiva, or for whatever, something, so this is it. This is a good vort. I have a lot of students who've used it. Okay, I hope it, whatever. Nala.com, you know, they try to raise money. So they ask, all the teachers like to give 5-minute, you know, fundraising thing. So this is my 5-minute fundraising thing. Okay, it's a vort from the Emes Liakov, Rav Kamenetsky, Zatzal. And it goes as follows. Describes the building of the Aron, Shulchan, and Menorah. By the Aron and the Shulchan, it says the Asisa, singular. Oh, no, sorry. By the Shulchan and the Menorah, it says the Asisa, singular. And by the Aron, it says the Asu, plural. Okay. So the question is why? How come? So the Ramban quotes the Medrash. That the Medrash says that the Shulchan and the Menorah represent pieces, segments of Am Yisrael. That the Shulchan represents wealth. That's what the Ramban, that the Medrash says. Shulchan, kings are rich. Shulchan Malachim. That's wealth. Not everyone is so wealthy. The Menorah represents the Kahuna, because they're the ones who light the Menorah. Only Kohanim are Kohanim. But the own represents Torah. So the Torah is hinting to us, the Shulchan and the Menorah, that's for some people. But the Aron, the Medrash says, is for everyone. Yavou HaKol V'Yis'asku B'Aron. This is the phrase, that's the language of the Medrash. Yavou HaKol V'Yis'asku B'Aron. Everyone should come and be involved in building the Aron. In other words, the reason why the Torah writes the building of the Aron in plural is to be a hint that everyone should be involved in Torah. Everyone should be involved in building the Aron, learning Torah, etc. It's a beautiful idea in Yadus that learning Torah is not just for the elite, not just the rabbis. Everyone has to learn. Daf Yomi, everyone has to learn. Everyone has to learn Torah, not just the Rabbanim. Abdul, this is one of the big differences from Judaism and other religions, and a lot of the other religions, only the idea of studying a text inside and breaking your head over is only officially for the spiritual leaders. Okay, good. So that's what the Medrash says. So what's the kasha that the Ramban asks? How exactly did everyone build the Aron? There were 2.5 million people. That's the Ramban's kasha. They all got in line and built the, and like they all, like, you know, took a little hammer and built the Aron. What happened? So the Ramban gives an answer. The Ramban discusses that. It's a good question. We have clarity here. The Chumash says Asisa versus Asu. That's Akasha. The Medrash gives an answer. Asu implies that for the Torah, everyone's involved. That's the Medrash. The Ramban, and the Medrash is answering Akasha on the Chumash. The Ramban has Akasha on the Medrash, which is, how did everyone build the Aron? The Ramban gives several answers. Rabbi Yaakov gives his own answer to the Ramban's Kasha. Here's Rabbi Yaakov's answer. Rabbi Yaakov says as follows. All the Jews were involved in the Aron because all the Jews were involved in building the Mishkan. And here's the idea. Let's say you wanted to build an Aron. So you would take the Aron. Let's say you had an Aron. You want the Aron. You want to put the Aron somewhere. So you'd go and you'd put the Aron like on a Chof HaPiskah. Like right outside of Koopman Tzatzal, is a very holy place. Right outside his apartment. Couldn't do that. Because an Aron needs a holy place to be in, you know, to be the Aron. You can't just put the Aron in the middle of the street. Even Rechov Pisgah, you can't put the Aron there. If you want the Aron to have its full Kedusha, what do you need? A Kadosh place. And inside the Kadosh place, you put the Aron. So the Aron needs the Mishkan. The Mishkan serves the Aron. The Aron needs the Mishkan. The Mishkan serves the Aron. So Rabbi Yaakov says, this is what the Medrash means. All the Jews were involved in building the Mishkan. Everyone donated for building of the Mishkan. And therefore, by definition, everyone was involved in building the Aron, because if you build, if you contribute to the Mishkan, you get partial credit for the building of the Aron. So even if you didn't give gold for the Aron, and you weren't someone who actually formed the Aron, since you helped build the Mishkan, you get credit for the building of the Aron. And he says that's what the Medrash means, that everyone's involved in building the Aron. That's what he says. This is a major yesod in life in general. There's an Aron in things, and there's a Mishkan in things. And some people are the Aron, some people are the Mishkan. For example, what's the Aron of our school? What's the Aron of this seminar? What's the Aron? The classes, the wonderful Shabbatons, the Yimei'iyun, whatever. The Yimei'iyun. What's the Mishkan? What's the Mishkan of this school? The desks, the lights, the building. And what's the big Mishkan? Starts with an M. What? Money! Yes, money! Schools need money. So when you give money to a school, when you give money to a school, this is an amazing concept, you get partial credit for the Torah being learned in that school. That's what Rabbi Yaakov is saying. Whoever built the Mishkan, it's as if they built the Aron. Whoever gives money gets credit for the Aron too. It's an amazing thing. This is good for fundraising. I'm serious. This is when you invest in a yeshiva, you invest in a school. There's a mushel out there. What's the best investment of all time? Investing in Microsoft in the 1970s. Whoever invests in Microsoft is a multimillionaire. Investing in a yeshiva. Investing in a yeshiva is a better investment than that, because the investment pays off in Olam Haba. That's one example. You have high schools in America. So what's the Aron of the high school? The classes of this. What's the Mishkan of a high school? The secretary. There's always that one person. If she's not there, the school falls. You know, the school falls apart. You know, every high school has that. If the principal's not there, you can get by. But if the secretary's not there, no one knows where to go. Yes, yeah, yeah. That secretary has a lot of zechuyos. She's keeping the school running. You got it? She's the Mishkan for the Aron. You have an NCSY Shabbaton. What's the Aron of an NCSY Shabbaton? The sessions, the davening, the ebbing. You know what ebbing is? The end of Shabbos. There's ebbing at the end of Shabbos. Okay. What's the Mishkan of an NCSY Shabbaton? What's the Mishkan of an NCSY Shabbaton? The phone calls. You've got to find place people to stay, organize the food, plan the Motze Shabbos activity that gets everyone to come in the first place. That's annoying, tedious work. You don't get any publicity for it. That's a Mishkan. You get partial credit for all the kiruv that goes on in NCSY. Got it? And there's a lot going on over there. They did a study 15 years ago. There's a person out there, Jonathan Rosenblum, Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblum, he writes very good articles. He wrote an article once about NCSY. This is an amazing statistic. He quoted, this is from a non-Orthodox source. The intermarriage rate, lo aleinu, of non-Orthodox Jews, this was 15 years ago, was in the 65-66%. And the intermarriage rate of non-Orthodox Jews, non-Orthodox, who spent more than a year in NCSY, was 2%. That's a study done from the Lilly Foundation. He quoted it in an article in the Jerusalem Post. It's a mind-numbing number. Anyway, so that's the Mishkan and the Aron. Everything's like this in life. Some people are zochet to be the Aron and their Torah and their learning, and some are the Mishkan. You find what you're good at. Rav Kupman Zatzal was a master at both. He was an Aron. He was an Aron, teaching his Sfarim. People use him all over the place. He has thousands of videos people watch to use to learn from. He had a way of teaching and a way of learning, and his chidushim and clarity and the jokes and everything, it all fit. He's also a Mishkan. He built it. He built this empire. Thousands of students, they mentioned at the Levaya, that they think most of the Dati Lumi Jews living in Israel right now have been taught by someone who either came here, who came to Mechala. Again, this is like a mind-numbing figure to have, like hundreds of thousands. Anyway, so guys, that's the Mishkan, and that's the Aron. Sometimes you're zoche to be the Aron, or if you're good at you're good at organizing, you're a Mishkan. You got to find your niche in life, and that's what the pasuk means. V'asu Aron, the ones who built the Mishkan, get credit for building the Aron. We'll stop.